Welcome back to the second hour of Love Babs Love Talk, the 10 o'clock hour where I always have good guests. This morning I have Steve Johnson and Ann Harrison from Workforce Alliance. And they're coming to talk to us about that $75,000 grant they got from the Community Foundation of Greater New Haven around doing equity and inclusion work, which is on everybody's minds these days. So welcome, Steve and Ann. Nice to see y'all. And you have to unmute yourself.
I should know this by now. It's nice to see
We all should know it. I do this every day, and every day sometimes I'm like, oh, God, I got to unmute myself. How are you all doing?
Yeah. We're great. Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. All right, so let's get right to it. What does Workforce Alliance do, first of all? Tell people what y'all do over there, because y'all on the boulevard.
We are. So, Workforce Alliance, we operate the American Job Centers, which one of which is on the boulevard. We also have three other locations. One is in Hamden, and then also Meriden, West Main Street Meriden, and South Main Street in Middletown. So these are really the portals where we serve people who are unemployed, underemployed, looking for new training, looking for new job opportunities. What we also do, and this is why Steve is here, is our other mission is to serve employers in the region. So I'm going to let Steve tell you how they do that.
Okay.
Sure. So, you know, obviously a big part of trying to serve our community and help people find work who are unemployed or underemployed or looking to change careers is to make sure that we have employers that we could present to them and that we establish good or great relationships with, so we can in fact get that door open just a little wider for that person because we've established a relationship with companies. And we do that in a variety of ways. We partner with chambers, economic development organizations, and we have some really good programs and services where companies like to come back, and we've proven that we could provide good employees, job-ready employees, and we have programs that will reimburse those companies if they'll take a little bit of a leap of faith in that person, train them, we can reimburse them for an average of 3 to 4 months. It's called on-the-job training.
Oh, okay.
So this is it's a wonderful program and a great way of establishing good relationships. But for those programs, sometimes we can't get those people in the door to work. So it's really good to have that available as a tool.
So all right. So you got this grant from the Community Foundation of Greater New Haven racial equity and inclusion. So what will this do? Like, how does this come about? Because this seems new.
It is. So, you know, I'll give you the kind of an overview of how we got to this place. So last year, actually, when we were all also, you know, with so much uncertainty with the coronavirus, as a nation, we were also looking at the murder of George Floyd and what an Workforce Alliance as an organization decided that we would issue a statement reaffirming our commitment to racial equity at that time. It felt like the least that we could do to condemn police brutality, racial injustice, and remind people that, you know, why we're here, which is really to help people connect to employment. So there were key parts of that. We didn't want to make it just a statement of support, you know, hopes and prayers. We actually spelled out things that we were doing and would continue to do. And those things included, you know, making sure that we were reaching Black and brown communities. A huge component of that is how our business services unit, which Steve heads up, would work with not only employers, companies owned by Black and brown people, but also working on presenting a diverse slate of candidates to all employers and helping all employers make sure that their hiring practices are inclusive. And there were other key aspects of that plan. And we made that statement, and it really energized our board of directors to say, we want to take this opportunity to really look at everything we're doing internally and everything we're doing externally as a workforce board, as a nonprofit based in New Haven and serving all of South Central Connecticut. So that's kicked off a year of planning and kind of introspection of looking how we do everything from the vendors we contract with to how do we promote internally to, again, what is the role of our business services unit in the community. Mm-hmm. So our board decided that to really not only implement, but measure and track and be accountable for all these things, we needed to have someone in-house whose sole responsibility would be to measure those things and guide those things. Mm-hmm. So in order to do that, in order to, you know, we're a nonprofit, we're funded by the state and federal funds primarily, and philanthropy. So we went to the Community Foundation for Greater New Haven, which also has a commitment to racial equity. They actually, same thing. The events of 2020 really made them refocus on addressing COVID issues and racial equity issues. So we went to them with a proposal that said, this is our plan. These are our action steps. And we would like to have help to implement them, among which would be to actually create and fund this this position. We were so thrilled that the Community Foundation chose us for funding in order to do that.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you say to the folks that you I guess this is a Steve question, to the businesses that you reach out to what do you say to them about this effort? Do you engage them to get on board with it? Do you engage them to help them understand what you're doing? Talk a little bit about that, because it's one thing for you to do this in-house, but it has to sort of, or maybe it doesn't, it has to sort of spill out beyond your doors.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, when we present what we do to the employers, they know our mission is to provide a diverse and ready to work candidate. And we want to make sure that we are providing that diversity to our employers, and that they're hiring, you know, according to the diversity and the population that we serve at all our job centers. And so we're making, you know, because of this on the job training, what it does is we're hoping that along with that, along with refresher courses that we will have for candidates, we're going to make the best candidates we can for our employers. And we know the goal is to get people to work and get a diversified group to the employers. And so they know that's our mission. We have a lot of nice programs like our Skill Up for Manufacturing program, BABS, which is a great program for people who are trying to jumpstart their careers. It's a 5-week course. And we have it here in New Haven at Gateway, and they coordinate it with Eli Whitney. And we also do something with Middletown, Middlesex Community College, and Vinyl Tech. And we've had a lot of diversity in that class. And everybody who's come out of it has at least been offered at least one job. So I think the key is, from what I'm seeing with employers, is they want people who are trained in in-demand jobs today. They know our mission of diversity. And if they, when they come to us and we do establish a lot of great relationships, they know that our candidate pool will be, you know, of diversity and train well And I feel there's been a great response out there in the manufacturing community, especially. That's what I worked on prior to business services coordinator. So I'm really seeing some really good things. I have a lot of great hopes. I'm finding that when people are trained and they present well in an interview and are eager to work, we're finding this success stories are coming out of it.
So I would imagine hiring an equity and a racial equity and inclusion officer or coordinator or director or whatever mm-hmm. it is the title is going to be key to getting this off the ground. That person is going to be responsible for all the moving pieces. How are you going to measure that success? Because you know I'm already starting to get a little nervous about these racial and equity managers, directors. Because it looks like it's a lot on their shoulders mm-hmm. And often left to their own design and devices. And if the success is not what they imagined, they being the board or whomever, that this person becomes the scapegoat for what goes wrong here. So talk a little bit about what you think that'll look like and the supports you'll provide and exactly what it is you're looking to do with your hire.
Sure. It's interesting that you said that because that exact issue is not making it all be on one person is a huge consideration for us and for our board of directors. So That lent us towards the decision that this person would be a senior level position reporting directly to the chief executive officer, who is Bill Villano. And the word, chief is in there because we wanted to give the sense that this person really has purview over just about everything. And that this person in the decisions they make and their findings and the direction they provide will really impact the entire organization and provide a direction externally as well. So, whether it's working with Steve's team, which actually has to implement, right, all of the steps and all of the ideas, that is one way that we will measure. This person will help not only develop the steps, develop the policies, come up with the ideas, but also work with those staff who are charged with actually implementing what's expected of them. And Steve already talked about some of the ways that this is already happening with presenting diverse candidates and working with employers, not only diverse candidates, but well-trained candidates who have transferable skills, candidates who are, primed and ready to get back into the workforce. So, aside from a racial equity initiative, that's always what we want to present to employers. But it does rest a lot on this person. But I will tell you that in funding this initiative, the Community Foundation actually said, pinpointed the results more than the position. So mm-hmm. they are actually holding us accountable for the things that would come out of a person in this position. So the position is less important than to them and to us than the outcomes that actually come of that. So we're hoping to express those outcomes in how we work with business services. How do we expand on programs for returning citizens? How do we reach more people in the community and make sure that everyone has access and awareness of what they're basically entitled to through our services? How do we work with our vendors? Are we offering business opportunities to the right vendors, the local vendors, minority-owned vendors? So all of those things are actually what we're measured on through this initiative.
So in this climate of, you want to say something, Steve?
Yeah, I was just going to say, if I can, Babs, one of the things we've done is trying to reach out to minority-owned businesses. We really have a staff member who met with a woman that runs the Community Economic Fund in New Haven. It's a really great story. It was, she met with, her name is Doreen Abubakar. I don't know if you know her, but she runs Community Economic Fund. And what they did was, one of our staff members went to a meeting and met with companies that are run by the minority community in the New Haven area. I think all of the people that were there were women owned businesses, and it established a wonderful relationship, because what we end up doing is we parlayed the partnership with those minority businesses, and we were able to provide supplemental employment program that would basically, it's a paid internship. So it was a kind of a win-win. So the company needed to get people in those jobs. We were able to provide people, and we paid for the paid internships. It gave those companies, which are basically small companies, an opportunity to bring people on without really, you know, taxing their payroll. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, it gave our customers, those job seekers, an opportunity to learn something new. And a lot of people got hired that way. So that's sort of one of the ways, one of the initiatives bring more minority-owned businesses into the fold, and to give everybody an opportunity to get to work and to build those businesses within our community.
So do you have a timeline for implementing and launching all of this, or have you started, or like what can the community expect?
Sure. So we are hoping to bring on this new person by October. October 1st is our goal. Yeah. we're already out there advertising for it, and we have gotten a fantastic response. So many talented people who are doing this work, who are interested in coming to New Haven and South Central Connecticut, and also, you know, who are already here. And want to, you know, believe in the workforce development mission and, you know, have the expertise to do this work. So no lack of response at all for finding a talented person to lead this effort. So October 1st is our target. I mentioned over the last year, we've actually developed a very detailed action plan. So we already have that in place, and so we're really handing that to this person as a blueprint for implementation, and so we know that by this time next year, at least as far as the Community Foundation is concerned, we will be reporting back to them. But we, you know, a lot of things are already underway. We've already also done a tremendous amount of internal work. We've had Dr. Wisdom Powell come into our organization, who mm-hmm. is known for her work through UConn and has been very outspoken on issues of racial equity and inclusion. She conducted some fantastic we call it knowledge building workshops for our board of directors, for our leadership, for our staff. There's going to be more with that include more stakeholders and our customers to get ideas and feedback and kind of what this means for them. And I'll tell you that even though it's through this lens of racial equity, what it's really done is brought, really galvanized everyone to really think about who we are as an organization, how do we work internally, what's our mission in the community, what do we want to kind of make our legacy. So it's been great for us as an organization, and we would encourage any others of any size. You know, we're not a big organization, and it's been a great learning and growth experience for us. And to bring that forward and to talk about our experience is also part of this initiative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, how do you talk to the community about this? Like, what do you say to the community about, I don't want to say this is a new initiative, but
right.
I think the times dictate that this is, I mean, we've learned so much through COVID about inequities and inequality. Not that we didn't know this before, but it put a spotlight on where we are as a country. How do you talk to this community? Because I would imagine it sounds good. What do you say to these communities, particularly Black and Brown communities, in reaching out to them under this new lens?
Right. Well, I'll take this, the first part, and then Steve can jump in. So when we say we want to reach more people in the communities, that is not so much about this initiative, but really more about our services and what they can get out of these services, whether they're an employer or whether they're a job seeker. So the impetus there is to make sure that when we do outreach, when we do recruitment, you know, when we're looking to fill a program like SkillUp, which is filling up for mm-hmm. September, that we are reaching as many people as possible and giving them as many people access to that opportunity as possible and the supports that they need around it. And we do that through, you know, grassroots community outreach, through partnerships, through some paid advertising, inviting people back to the American Job Centers, which are open again, which is wonderful.
In the sense that people can actually physically come there.
Yes, we are open. Okay. Yes, absolutely. And then the other way that we do that is, that reaching is to make sure that we're working with, you know, key media partners like yourself, like Inner City News, like others that are well-read, that are really community-based, that, so that we're providing those opportunities to them as businesses themselves, but also because of the readership. So that, again, really that for that end of it, it's really making sure that that awareness is there. And in this day and age where there's so much noise and there's so much going on and everyone's getting their news from so many different places, that's hard to do. It's hard to break through that, but that mm-hmm. is our charge.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'd just like to add that another thing that's really important, Babs, is to make sure that we're breaking down barriers to employment. If you're in a training and you don't have a laptop, we'll provide one for you. If you don't have access to Wi-Fi, we'll provide it for you. Mm-hmm. Childcare, transportation. Mm-hmm. These are all things that can be a huge burden. If you don't have access to it, you won't have access to employment. And so, boot camps, to get refreshed in math and things that are in demand these days. So that is our support that we hope will encourage and boost the diversity and success of people in the community. And so they not only can work, but they can have a financially sustainable job and thrive. And that's really our ultimate goal.
Hmm. So from where I sit, we can't have a conversation about racial equity and inclusion without talking about the reentry population. Mm-hmm. And I believe y'all have a reentry component to the work that y'all do over there.
We do. We have Next Steps for Reentry, which is headed up by Freeman Holloway, who is a legend in the community. Particularly Newhallville, and Glenn Young, who is our senior job seeker consultant and career navigator, and he also works with employers throughout the region. So, Next Steps is a program designed to help people, whether they're just getting being released from incarceration, or maybe they have a criminal history that goes back 20 years. It doesn't matter. If someone comes to us and feels that they need employment and training assistance, and that their criminal history may be a barrier for them, that is what that team of Glenn and Freeman is dedicated to. Excuse me. And it's been We've been doing this work since 2003. Next Steps was actually established back in 2003. And since then, over 2,200 people have found work with the help of that program. And the reason why is because employers are recognizing that they need to expand their pool of candidates, and that excluding people because of something on their criminal record really limits the talent pool that they can pull from. And as more people, you know, themselves or maybe family members also have involvement in the criminal justice system, we find more and more employers are opened to hiring people along those lines. Mm-hmm. And just like Steve was saying, all of the same supports are there for the employers. There's on the job training incentives, there's subsidized employment, there's screening. You know, we back up all our candidates, you know, with sort of a kind of a to continue to work with them and make sure that they're staying on track, providing the supports like transportation and childcare, access to childcare subsidies. All those are also in place. So yeah, you're absolutely right, Babs, that we can't talk about racial equity without talking about the reentry population.
Mm-hmm. And so, Steve, when you're out there talking to these businesses, I mean, I know you've been at this quite some time. I'm sure you've seen a difference in just what she said, just what Ann said about employers starting to understand that they were limiting their job pool by saying, we don't want anybody that has some kind of infraction or whatever in their record.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And just to give a prime example, we have a training program that's just about completed. And the instructor had said to me that the best person in the class, the most diligent, the hardest working person in that class happened to be someone who had been incarcerated before. And they said, the instructor said, I will go up to bat for them any day and endorse them. This is somebody I would definitely, you know, want to, you know, bring to the forefront, to an employer, and get that person in front of them. So, you know, with those connections with the instructors that we have, you know, making those kind of endorsements, it's just another way of being able to show the community, the employment community, the manufacturers, the healthcare workers, that we have good people and this is a viable group of people. Same thing with people who are sort of aging, you know, the more mature group. That's another group. I mean, at one point, I remember.
I'm aging. Right? I get it. Yeah. I know. Yes.
I hear you. And, you know, you come in, and if you were like over 50, it was like, I'll never get a job. Those days are things are changing. They really are. They understand that they're dedicated people, that they work hard, that they'll stay at a job. And so it's similar with the mature worker as it is someone who, you know, is reentering into the community. And I think this slowly changing. But we need to be able to get those people in front of employers, and we do need the new employee to be able to be the first or second generation of people who are proving that we're right, that this is a viable population, and by training them and having hard workers. I think we'll be able to continue to build on that as we go on.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about, I know you have a youth component, because youth is a little trickier, I think. Or maybe it's not, I don't know. But I know there's a youth component to the work that y'all do. And we can't talk about racial equity and inclusion without talking about that component. So, what does that look? How does that play into this overall design?
Yeah, well, you know, Babs, we were just
here.
Kalia Spears Burgess and I were on to talk to you back in June about Project CEO, which is what we call our youth program. And youth kind of throws people off. We're talking about young adults, right? We're talking about particularly that 18 to 24 year old age group. So, and that, like you said, it's a different approach when you're talking to that age group. There's a lot of entrepreneurial spirit in that age group. There's a lot of questioning and kind of deciding what path someone's going to choose. And that's kind of where the CEO comes in. We say, be the CEO of your future. So a lot of plan making and work experience, trying different things out. So again, how do we do that? So when someone in that age range comes to us, we give them that option to enroll into Project CEO, which is a series of specialized exercises and workshops and supports, mostly geared towards work experience, although quite a few people do also go into training as a result of that. Mm-hmm. And it's very heavily participation from New Haven proper itself, but it really is open to anyone in the 30 towns we serve in South Central Connecticut. So again, that has always served a very diverse group of people, and because of the work that Kalaya does and her team does with working with school systems and superintendents and guidance counselors and just getting the word out, it's really just a matter of making sure that that work continues and that work, that we're reaching the right people who need these opportunities and who will most benefit from them.
Mm. Well, I find this quite groundbreaking. I don't know. Is anybody else in the country doing anything like this with a workforce aligned, with the job readiness, job development component and a community foundation coming together to sort of raise the bar on race equity and inclusion?
Well, I think that, talking to our colleagues across the country, everyone's trying to, looking at themselves and looking at their systems to make sure that what they're doing is fair and equitable as it should be. We know we're unique in Connecticut for the work that we've done over the last year with our planning and with partnering with the Community Foundation on something like this. And we wanted to be unique because we wanted to be able to, again, talk about what we're doing and share that with others, whether it's other workforce boards, of which there's four other boards in Connecticut. We kind of cover different geography, but also other businesses, other nonprofits, other community organizations. We've learned a lot in the last year, and we've learned a lot about ourselves. So we, our charge definitely is to share all that.
But this has been a good conversation. I'm so glad that you all were able to come on and talk about this. This is groundbreaking stuff. I want you to come back and highlight us where you all are in the planning process and the implementation process. So I want you to come back in a few months and tell us what you've learned and what you know and what has happened.
Yeah, we'll come back with our new racial equity officer.
Yes, that'd be a good idea. I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait. Well, thank you for your time this morning, Ann Harrison and Steve Johnson over at Workforce Alliance. I appreciate you all coming on to talk about this.
Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
Oh, yes, yeah, anytime.
Yes. So, and thank you to Jeanette. She is amazing.
She is.
She's a good coordinator, and I appreciate her.
I'll tell her.
Keeping the balls in the air. Yes. She keeps the balls in the air in a very nice way. And I was like, man, I could use a team player like her. I'm not trying to steal her. I'm just saying.
Okay.
She's really good at what she does. And I appreciate her coordination. So thank you all. Enjoy the rest of your summer. I can't wait. As soon as you get your new equity and inclusion executive, let's go. Let's go.
Okay.
Have them, she, he, them come on and let's talk about this some more. Thank you all.
Thank you, Babs.
All right. Have a good one.
Thanks, Babs.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Bye. All right, Harry. We're about to bounce up out of here. That was a good conversation. I'm telling you, those Workforce Alliance people, they know what they're doing over there. If I need a new job, I know where I'm going. If I need a new job, Harry, I'm going to go over there and throw my resume on the table. It's like, okay. Find me some work.
Well, I'm not looking right now, but.
Oh, no, I'm not either, because I like my gig, where I like what I'm doing.
Yeah, I like the gig right now.
I like the gig right now. I like the gig. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying. And I like the fact that, you know, they deliberately said, you know, even aging people can get a gig, right, can get a job. You know, it was a time, Harry, if you was over 50, don't even look, don't even put your resume out there. You know, there was a time you would have to take all the dates off things so you, people couldn't prejudge you before you got into space, you know. I mean, I remember being told that, and I was young, right? So, anyway, it's time for
Yeah, I wish it was 20 years ago.
No, I don't. Are you kidding me?
I mean, you know, so all the opportunities that I would have jumped at, like right now, I'm just too comfortable.
I know one thing. You better call those daggone orthopedic surgeons I gave you. That's what I know. Comfortable or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to bring that up. So tomorrow, Eve May is our guest. She's going to come on and talk about the Elm City Lit Fest, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. So she's in the final stretch of the the Lit Fest. So the Lit Fest is coming up. I think it launches like the 8th or something, September 8th through the 12th. So, yeah. So she's our guest tomorrow, 10:15. Her and her whole team. She's got a dynamic team. So I can't wait to have them on.
All right. See you tomorrow. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Harry. Bye, everybody. 10% heart attack. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, I'm going to try not to push.